Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Welcome to The Athletic NBA Show, Monday through Friday,
on The Athletic Podcast Network.
I do have a take.
Point of contention.
KD could be a head coach. I could be a head coach.
Welcome to Point of Contention. Five subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. Coming up on the show, MVP talk in February. Also, money, contenders in the East and West, and the old Star-Spangled Banner. In this corner, Bay Area legend, author of two best-selling books about the Warriors, Marcus Thompson. Marcus, happy Black History Month. I hope it's going well. I'm curious, what were your thoughts on the halftime show during the Super Bowl?
I did not watch it. I watched all of the memes about metaphors for people being lost, and I was reminded why I didn't watch it. So it was a very happy halftime show. You know what I did? I went and made myself some food and skipped the weekend because it was not worth not eating.
Yeah. I picked up wings during halftime. So, yeah, I also.
You're with me. There we go.
Yeah. I also missed it.
Good job picking up wings, by the way. No better way to celebrate Black History Month than with chicken.
I'm just waiting to see how Zach's going to respond.
Oh, that was a bait. You didn't take it. Yeah, this is why you're my guy.
You're my brother, Marcus. All right, and in this corner, the author of The Victory Machine, now in paperback, the Bay Area suburban legend, Ethan Strauss. Ethan, I wanted you to assess the performance of one Thomas Brady. Is he the greatest athlete of all time?
I don't know.
Fantastic answer. What a great answer. The answer's no. He's not the greatest athlete of all time. He may have the best resume of all time or the best resume in football history, but no, he's not. You know why? Because everyone else can run faster and jump higher than him. That's athleticism.
He's crushing my Steph Curry for MVP campaign and case right now, just off the bat. I mean, look.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, you know, it's whatever it is. Good job, Tom Brady. Good career. Don't care.
Sure.
Hate all these conversations. Yeah. They're impossible to reconcile.
Right.
You're comparing people who are individual athletes in individual sports to players in team sports across generations.
Right.
We do too much of it. That's all I'm saying.
The dude is a winner, man. He's Bill Russell football. That's good enough for me.
Bill Russell football.
Third best quarterback of all time.
Wow.
All right. I'm Zach Harper, your host of POC. Jade Hoy producing. Let's start the clock. Jade, MVP, MVP, MVP. Whoa, boy. In the words of one J.E. Skeets, do we have a race for the MVP this year? So much talent, so much value. And let's start in the Bay with one Stephen Curry, or as Marcus might call him, Wardell. Mm. Who's playing lights out basketball right now? People are starting to wonder, can this team maybe make a little noise in the playoffs? Can they be a noisy playoff team? And if they do it, will it be done by Curry? Because let's face it, guys basically playing 1-on-4 most nights. We also have LeBron. We've got Joel Embiid, Kawhi Leonard, maybe Luka, definitely Nikola Jokic, maybe Kevin Durant. Marcus, right now, who would you select as the MVP frontrunner? And once again, I'll remind you, we're having this discussion in February.
This is a tough one. I think I'd go with Joel Embiid right now just because I'd go against the grain. I never expected Philly to be at the top. But you know what? I have too great of a memory of the 2016-17 season and the sudden shift everyone made from team accomplishments to individual excellence. And I don't know why it happened, but it happened. And suddenly, being at the top of the league didn't matter anymore. Being at number two or number three wasn't part of the equation. It just became, are you singularly great with poverty around you? And I'm going to stick with that definition now that it's Steph Curry's turn. Steph is the MVP because he's playing with Kelly Oubre Andrew Wiggins, who's actually pretty good. I mean,
last time we talked about Kelly Oubre, Marcus, he dropped 40.
He did.
Right?
He did.
So, man, I don't know if you're trying to get him. Maybe you got him on DraftKings or something tonight. I don't know what you did.
Hey, let's get that Kelly Oubre bump is big. He's playing, he's averaging the same, he's putting up the same numbers he did during his unanimous MVP year. Without Klay Thompson, without peak Draymond, without the excellence of Luke Walton coaching 50 games, without without Harrison Barnes, like without a bench mob that was actually good. Like, he's doing this in a way that nobody expected. And I believe Ethan is right. I know he's going to say that narratives are important, and there isn't a bigger narrative than this. Steph Curry is better than he's ever been.
Well, Ethan, I'm so glad you mentioned that, Marcus, because Ethan, how much will narrative play into this year's MVP race?
Hugely. We get bored. We want to go with a fresh story. We're not going to give it to Giannis. Giannis could have an amazing season. We will not give it to Giannis because we did twice and he didn't do so well in the postseason. So we're looking for that fresh story. Now, Embiid, interesting story. The center is back in the NBA. It is no longer complete small ball, big men, or dinosaurs. And he, I think...
The center never went away. I have so many problems with that. Hey, the center never went away.
Hey, it's narrative time. It's all narrative.
Don't call me baby. What is that? Why is it a Hollywood producer right now?
White people fighting. Let's go. Happy Black History Month. Have at it. This is great.
He left. Look. Oh, whoa, oh, oh.
Look.
Oh, you got a scar. All right, I got look.
What is happening right now?
I don't know. I don't know what it's getting.
Go ahead, top.
I got one too, baby.
That's no cigar.
It's legal here. I can have this out. It's not
facts.
Lit.
Facts.
Okay.
I'm gonna rush a show like this, baby.
Look. We're talking
story. There's a clip, Jade.
We're talking about storylines right here, Zach. That was the story before. Big men, irrelevant. Don't take them in the draft. They don't matter as much as perimeter players. And now you're seeing with Embiid and Jokic and other bigs that they do have an impact. And I think Embiid is all part of that. Did you know that it has been over 20 years since a center won MVP? That incredible Shaq season.
Wow.
That's the last time. Now, you had some bigs who are listed as power forwards who got in there, but it's been a long time. Long time. So Embiid is interesting from a narrative perspective there. But the fact that it's taken so long for a big man to win is also why I think the Steph Curry campaign is underrated at last glance. Plus 1,100 for Steph to win that particular award. I'm saying great value. I'm not saying it's probable. I'm saying LeBron is in the driver's seat right now. But when you look at that whole list of guys between LeBron and Steph for those odds, I think Steph should be right on up there after LeBron in some order, just because this is an interesting story. If the Warriors get to the mid-table of the playoffs with basically no offensive talent around Steph, playing with Kelly Oubre, even if he is playing better, that's a tremendous accomplishment. And even if he doesn't win it, damn it, he might just deserve it.
LeBron's winning MVP, though.
He's the probable guy.
Yeah, well, wouldn't if the league really wanted to have like LeBron go on a tear, Marcus?
I want that. Wouldn't it be? Yes.
Wouldn't it be to give Steph the MVP once again?
Absolutely.
And then right before the playoffs.
Yeah, right before Warriors Lakers playoffs for a little bit of Hakeem David Robinson magic right there.
Oh my god.
Absolutely.
That's the move.
That's dead on right there. I would love that. You wanna see LeBron look like he's 25 again? Give Steph the MVP.
Oh, my God. He'll come there in throwback jerseys. Like, everything will be 25 for him. Mm. But I'm curious. All right. So you guys are saying Steph is a prime candidate, right? And I do agree with Ethan, in which you can watch on the restricted area on Thursday today as Waz and I hit the MVP betting odds. And Steph Curry is heavily involved in that, obviously, at plus 1,100, as Ethan mentioned. But I'm curious if you are having guys on middling teams, and we had complaints about Russell Westbrook winning in 2017, even though that team wasn't very good, or at least wasn't special by any means, then would Nikola Jokic have the edge over Steph Curry?
I mean, small market, center, and the team not doing well enough? I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. And also just not the name brand. Again, narrative here. Narrative, baby. Not the name brand that Steph Curry is. This is about names. This is about fame in the MVP chase. It's not about deserve necessarily. So, yeah, he
it's
could
never
do it.
About deserved.
No.
Never.
I
mean, LeBron would have 10. Yeah. If it was.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
He could do it, but I think they have to be a 2 seed at least to make it happen for Nikola.
I think Jokic is so interesting because, like, if you're just talking about dudes who are playing, like, is he not 2? He's definitely top 3, like just to what he's producing. But it is a narrative case, and the fact is people just aren't that excited about Denver. Like, that's not a team that people are
And also they're maybe below expectations. Right?
Yeah, they are underachieving. But he's incredible. He's playing.
Yeah, he's been like, ridiculous.
He lifted his game in the way Murray hasn't, right? Like we thought we saw a ceiling, and he was like, "Yo, yeah. that was just the floor.
That was that bubble goggles."
What he's been doing is crazy. I do think you're right. I mean, it's so based on that, and then like we're voting. It's us voting, right? It's us like who watch 5 games on League Pass and know everything, right? That's what we're doing here. We're gonna watch Steph make crazy threes, and people are gonna go crazy, and we're gonna watch LeBron do crazy things at like 72 years old. And that's what we care about. That's what matters, and that's what's going to decide it. Nobody cares that Jokic is really – he's got to be shooting 80% in clutch minutes. It's insane. The dude never misses at the end of the games. It doesn't matter the lit threes, 20-footers. It doesn't matter. The dude does not miss in clutch moments, and, you know, in that last 5 minutes. But it doesn't matter because we're not watching that.
That's probably – LeBron is probably where the smart money is. And speaking of money, take two. Money, money, money. Hold on. Hold on. What's that sound? Jade, is that win? It is indeed. Did I do that right? We'll go with it. That's also the sound of $30 million of ad revenue sailing out the door. Roughly the amount TNT makes on its all-star coverage. Even before last Friday's debacle of a Nets game in which Kevin Durant had to be removed for contact tracing after he was delayed to play and then allowed to play 19 minutes, players started to question the all-star game being held in the middle of a pandemic or a panoramic or whatever you want to call it. LeBron called it a slap in the face. De'Aaron Fox called it stupid. Giannis said zero energy, zero excitement regarding the game. To be fair, Giannis, all-star game usually doesn't have a whole lot of energy in it. And so, I guess last year's fourth quarter worked. Mm. But both teams are losing. All teams are losing bread right now. It looks as if the league and its partners are moving forward, insisting they will handle it properly. Maybe we'll get a mini bubble. So, Ethan, let me ask you, does the league care about the players' health when it comes to the All-Star weekend?
To a degree, that can be outweighed by money. But yeah, all things being equal, they would want the players to be safe and sound and healthy. But we're talking about billions of dollars here, which is what the Turner contract is. I think that Turner is paying the NBA, I believe, through the end of the contract, around $7 billion. I haven't looked it up in a while, but about $7 billion. And I don't think that Turner would necessarily break the contract if the NBA was in breach and didn't play the All-Star game, which is their showpiece game, in the way that for ABC, Disney, the Christmas slate is their showpiece. I don't think Turner would necessarily break the entire contract, but they could. I believe they could. If the All-Star game's not played, then Turner, I believe, has the right to go, this contract is void and we need to get back to the table and talk about some things. I don't think they'd do it, but I think the NBA is more so just trying to keep its customers happy. It reminds me, I wrote about it once, how the NBA wanted to introduce cameras into the locker room, and it was very controversial, and the coaches didn't want to do it. And at the annual coaches meeting in Chicago, Scott Skiles, at that time, because this was around the early 2000s, and he had just started coaching, and David Stern had just given a talk, and Skiles said, "Hey, David, all due respect." Yeah, that's how you know it's going to be good, when there's all due respect before it. All due respect, the locker room is kind of my sacred space. To which David Stern responded, "Oh yeah, you know, sacred space. Well, you know, on the one hand, we've got billions of dollars from our broadcast partners. And on the other hand, we've got Scott fucking Skiles. Shut the fuck up. I don't want to hear another fucking word out of you. Sit the fuck down. So that's how the people on Fifth Avenue think about their money as an indication and the importance of the major broadcast networks in getting them that money. And that informs this decision.
So, Zach, was that a spot on Stern or does it need work?
I don't know that I can say. I'm of Catholic descent. I don't know that I can say. I feel like I'm in all. I'm just avoiding all kinds of landmines in this episode.
It's a paraphrasing. Smart. It's an interpretation. That was a reenactment of what happened in that room at the annual coaches meeting in Chicago.
You're ready for the ID channel, buddy, for those reenactments on the husband who got killed.
Marcus, what do we think is going to happen with this All-Star weekend?
We know what's going to happen. They're going to play.
They're going to play.
The cashes, right, the checks will be cashed. Yeah. Here's the irony of this, right? I mean, I'm with you, players. I got it. It's a huge inconvenience. You thought you were going to get this time off. I got it. Like, as a family man, I understand that might be problematic. But, okay, y'all did the same thing. Y'all went for the bread, too. Now you're like, hold on. Do you care about us or the money? You're literally playing a season for the exact same reason. You literally went to the bubble for the exact same reason. Now you feeling burnt because it's all about the money. Oh no, the league cares about money over me. Like, shut up. This is exactly what you did. You can't now turn around and be like the poor sympathetic employers. Like, the CBA, the players union already agreed to the deal. Like,
yeah.
What are you talking about? You wanted the money. I don't understand this. Yeah.
It seems like there was a miscommunication where they said there wasn't going to be an All-Star game in Indianapolis.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a miscommunication. They were all on board for the money. And then they took to social media and was like, this is crazy. Like, nah, this is unfair. Like, nah, they wanted the money. You can't take the money sometimes.
I think they have a responsibility.
I think putting it
now to make this as
I think putting it in Atlanta.
I
Atlanta's a terrible decision, Ethan. Like, Atlanta is an open city.
Awful place.
You just had courtside Karen do the thing. Like, you can't put it there.
Atlanta has never been closed. It's not like, oh, Atlanta's opened it back up. Like, Atlanta never shut down. Atlanta's like a club.
It does feel like Atlanta is becoming the Vegas of the South, that it's very what happens here stays here. Make whatever decisions you want. But at the same time, it's just, I think they have a responsibility now to make the All-Star game as glum and pouty as possible. Because now that they've already told us they don't want to do it, just go all the way in. I want to see just people throwing the ball into the stands, shuffling around. Just make it an absolute catastrophe if this is the energy that you're bringing into the situation. I want to see a slam dunk contest with layups if you're really going to make it like this. Probably not, though.
Shout out to Daryl Armstrong.
What I don't understand is why would they say at all that there would be no All-Star game? Why did they even say that from the beginning? Like, that's the part I don't get. The TNT, were they really okay with that ever? So,
no!
Or was this really really get backdoored on this one? Like, when they create, the whole point of the season was to make sure you don't lose all this money. So, why would they ever say, but we're going to kill the All-Star game?
Yeah.
Like, that... To me, that something.
Well, what are they looking at? Like, it's weird because, like, are they looking for sympathy from fans? Fans don't care. They don't care. Nobody cares. Everybody's got problems. I mean, a frustration might be warranted, and everybody has problems at their own jobs. But the communication to everybody else and watching, it's just, I don't know. Even people who are normally are very pro player, I don't really see jumping up and breaking out the violin for
because
the
it's easy. Don't play. Don't play. You see what De'Aaron Fox said? Like, this is stupid. Why are we doing this? Are you playing? Heck yeah, we getting fined. Like, you just literally criticized the league for taking the exact same stance you did. I'm not losing my money. Yeah. Like, so don't play if you feel that strongly.
Yeah, it's very simple. You know, take a fine if you don't want to do it. If you think it's unsafe, then that's the price that's paid. It makes total sense. But in order to get the money, you've got to show up for the marquee events. And as I try to stress again and again, TV runs the NBA. That's how they make the schedule. They start with the Christmas games and they build everything around it. And they put the other premier games into motion. The entire schedule is based around TV. The TV money is immense. It's over $2 billion a year combined with Turner and ESPN Disney. That is the main revenue source for this sport. And that's why ultimately you've got to show up when they want you to show up. It's how it is.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
A lot of that money resides in the Western Conference. Speaking of the Western Conference, take three, one trade away. Taking a look at the Western Conference, fellas, right now, these are the standings 1 through 8. Jazz 1, Lakers 2, Clippers 3, Suns 4, Blazers 5, Spurs 6, Nuggets 7, Warriors 8. Plus, then we got a bunch of play-in options there. They say that the playoff structure becomes pretty clear one-third of the way through the season, although with the play-in tournament, I'm not quite sure. I'm curious your thoughts on this list. What team may be outperforming your expectations and which have not, and which teams are a trade away from being formidable? Marcus, is it the Warriors that you got your eye on or somebody else?
No, I thought the Warriors are where we thought they would be, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what are they currently? Like an 8 seed? I figured they'd be somewhere between 6 and the play-in game, right? Like, if it goes incredibly well, maybe they're 5. If, like, magic happens and planets align, they get a 4 seed, right? Like, so they're right where we thought they were. I do think... I think Dallas is the most disappointing team, right?
Yep.
I do feel like that's a team that I expected to be up there. To be honest, I expected, probably mistakenly, the Suns to do what the Jazz have done, right? I was super high on the Suns. I was like, the Suns is about to take over this whole league. And they're good. They're not bad. 14-9 isn't terrible. But the Jazz have, like, basically hit the, you know, they've stepped on the gas. And they look like a team we've never seen before. So
Look maybe a little 2014-2015 Warriors-esque, huh?
Crazy, yo. Jazz look crazy. So Phoenix took the jump. We thought Utah has been out of this world, and man, Dallas is disappointing. I'm gonna stop short to call Denver disappointing. I do feel like they played late to the bubble. We knew those teams would need some time, and they're about, like, I'm not surprised that they started with the struggle. I do think they have a turn up in them, and if they do, they'll be right in the mix.
Yeah, you're right about Dallas being the most disappointing. Suns are pretty much where I thought they would be. I gotta say, credit to the Jazz, it does feel a little bit like sprinting the marathon, or they've jumped out way ahead and it just doesn't feel sustainable. On the other hand, maybe this no fan situation changes the dynamics and some of your role players can shoot on the road in a way they would not have otherwise. Once you take 20,000 fans out of the arena, there's a little less pressure, a little bit more like an open gym, free and easy. Maybe that has as much to do with the insane run of three-pointers for the Utah Jazz as does Mike Conley figuring out how to play with a rim running center as opposed to playing with Marc Gasol back in the day. So maybe it is sustainable. As far as one trade away, I mean, it is so hard to get to that Laker tier. The Lakers seem far out ahead as far as a contender is
concerned.
Lakers
still playing games. They ain't even, yeah. They're not even playing for real yet.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's that's a tough one to get into that strata, and I think the Clippers might be there. The big question is whether, you know, at what point are the Jazz playing well enough that we actually consider them to be on par or to have a crack at those two? And I got to say, I've been burned too many times in the postseason on these regular season teams to really ever make that call. I feel like they could win 60 games in this abbreviated season and I'd still be saying Lakers. So maybe that's just what it's going to be. We're not going to consider the Jazz as legitimate until the day they actually eliminate the Lakers in the playoffs.
You know, Zach, you know who's one trade away? Not from, like, winning a league, but being in the mix for real? Sacramento, baby.
Wow.
Sacramento wants
trade for LeBron?
No, come on. Don't do that. Hey, they won 7 of 10.
We do this too many times since 2006.
I'm not letting you do this.
I'm not letting you do this, Marcus, since 2006.
Are you watching Harrison Barnes? Are you watching Harrison Barnes?
Nobody's watching Harrison Barnes, for one. This isn't Iowa where he's from, right? But two, this is the Kings do this. They get people excited over the last few years, and then in the second half of the season,
one trade
they
away,
just
baby.
Piss away. That's all they do. And so until the Kings
one trade away, I gotta say, I'm calling it.
I could see them getting into
is the trade for LeBron.
I feel that's pretty funny.
They have to earn it. They have to show us. No, it's the same thing as Denver last year. Denver last year, and I guess Utah this year, but Denver last year, Ethan, everyone was like, hey, you know, Denver's not getting their respect. And then you have to beat the Clippers. And then they beat the Clippers and they got the respect. If the Kings can even make the play-in tournament, then we can start having this conversation. But until then, no, they're the fucking Kings. We don't do this.
Should the Blazers trade McCollum? Just make that trade.
Absolutely.
Okay. To the Kings, and then they're the 5 seed. This is what I'm telling you.
For what? How many guards
Bagley.
Do they have?
Bagley. There you go.
McCollum for Bagley. That's like Neil O'Shea just not carried anymore. That's him shorting his own
gave up on life, right? He just gave up.
Neil O'Shea becomes a dude from Office Space. Like, I just thought I'd stop showing up. Like, I don't really like paying bills. I'm not going to do that anymore. What are we doing here?
You know, that might be a little risky to disrupt the chemistry the Blazers have had, but I'm just thinking, what's the big move they could potentially make? And maybe the Suns, too. Could the Suns potentially be a trade away? That's where you look at. That one I like. Yeah, the mid-table is where it's at. I don't think the Spurs... God, betting against the Spurs seems so stupid, but I don't like that roster too much. I don't think
they're very good.
I like that team.
You like them.
When they don't have Aldridge on the floor.
Yes,
on the floor.
That's a very important
When they don't have Aldridge
though.
On the floor, they're really good. Mm. Yeah. Well, yeah, it is.
It's a very important piece.
Do we think Dallas is Dallas going to get it together? I mean, that's their defense is awful. Oh, my. Dude, Steph Curry would average 50 threes if he played them all the time.
Yeah, they're a bad shooting team out of nowhere.
Who would have thought losing Seth Curry would destroy the Mavericks?
Hey, man, don't get rid of the Currys. Yeah. Doesn't it feel like Marvin Bagley is destined to be a wizard?
It does.
Doesn't that just feel like a Washington Wizards big man?
just the name.
You're saying he's part of the legacy of Andre Blatch?
It just feels like that.
As a name, he sounds like a 70s baseball player to me when you said his name like that. Marvin Bagley.
Marvin Bagley?
Yeah.
No, he's definitely just a shortstop who would occasionally pitch.
And we call him Bags.
That's what Marvin Bagley is. Yeah, we call him Bags. All right. Bagley, if he gets straight to the Wizards, would be in the Eastern Conference. Speaking of the Eastern Conference, take four! Eastern Conference contenders and pretenders. Looking at the East now, 1 through 8. 1 Sixers, 2 Bucks, 3 Nets, 4 Celtics, 5 Pacers, 6 Hornets, 7 Hawks, 8 Raptors. I can see the Nets and the Sixers making a run at the finals. Maybe the Celtics, maybe the Bucks. But Ethan, who are the contenders in the East? The true contenders.
True contenders. Dude, do we put the Nets in there? I mean, with all their talent, they got too decadent, man. It got too decadent. I liked them a little bit before the trade and the injuries. I think it's a crazy thing because on opening night, it looked like the Brooklyn Nets were the best team in basketball and at least at the highest talent level. Now, man, that defense is too iffy. I don't know. God, the East is a mess. I kind of like the Celtics as a true contender to get to the finals. I like the Sixers as a possibility. I like the Bucks as a possibility. I don't know about those Nets, man. I think they might be out of that particular bubble, but we'll see. Talent is talent.
I mean, if Kyrie gets over his, you know, oppression that the Nets have gone through with all their disadvantage and all their struggle, I think eventually the Nets figure it out. I mean, they're too good, and we've seen this happen. Like, we've seen the super team get together and take a while, right? So I don't think this is abnormal, but in a playoff setting, I still don't see how you guard this team. Like, when you got three dudes, that's just going to be tough, man.
Marcus, they're averaging like 87 points.
I don't know how you. I feel like they'll be better defensively if the matchups are the same, right? If you get the opportunity to stay in the same matchup.
I've said this before, but I've seen on League Pass, this is a real thing. The opposing announcers are trying to troll them into Discord. I swear this is happening.
Yeah.
They're saying, like, this is 100% happening.
Ah,
Kyrie hasn't gotten the ball in a while, huh? It's been a few possessions. they're saying stuff like that.
It's like they think the players can hear them, right? Yeah. Hey, Kyrie.
Well, they're relying on the family members. That's playing the long game. They're hoping that the dad, the mom, the wife, that somebody's watching, that they can just poke. They can just poke. Like, oh man, it's just kind of no James Harden for a few plays here. I'm hearing them say this regularly. The opposing teams on League Pass when the Nets are playing. And I'm thinking, well, job well done, League. You're coming together to try to undermine the super team in the subtle ways that you can to try to bring everything into balance. It's a well-executed plan.
You know, in the same way, is Brooklyn really like an elite team? I'm wondering, is Toronto really a bad team? That feels like a team that's going to scare. I feel like Toronto is one of them teams that's almost playing this perfectly, so you can just forget about them. They struggled, but I don't know if you count out a team that has all their experience. I think in the end, when it's all said and done, they're going to be in that top four mix. Maybe not in the regular season, but when the East gets to the final four. Toronto is a team that would scare me if I'm in the East.
Hey, what's up with the Celtics? Because I rubber stamped them as a contender because of the amazing growing wing talent they have, but yet not great so far. And I haven't watched too much of them. So
Marcus Smart's hurt.
Yeah, Kemba missed most of the season.
This matters.
Tristan Thompson's been terrible.
Yeah.
Like Tristan Thompson's been awful. It's just been, and Tatum missed a handful of games, but it's just been like Jalen Brown and Jason Tatum are amazing.
Yeah, Jalen Brown has been incredible.
And everyone else just kind of find their way.
So Jaylen they just
he's been the best
it's
player.
It's unbelievable how good he's got.
They just need the supporting cast to come back into the fold, and they should be good. So yeah, when you put it like that,
in theory,
get it together, Brad. Come on, this is wide open for you now, Brad. Wide open for you, Brad. This is it.
I'm on the hot seat. Who's in bigger trouble, Steve Kerr or Brad Stevens? Ooh.
I mean, in real life, neither are in trouble at all. On Twitter,
at all, right?
Massive trouble.
On Twitter, it's Steve Kerr. It's Kerr. Kerr's in massive trouble on Twitter.
Yeah,
like literally.
Is it possible we will find out whether or not Twitter has real power in firing a coach?
Oh my God. I mean, I feel like they're not even doing it. I feel like it's an act is the funniest part. I feel like Andy Liu is doing it as an Andy Kaufman routine. And yet he is so charismatic that he is winning converts over and convincing people of what? I don't know, that the Warriors should have been a 2 seed without Klay Thompson and nobody else who can shoot. I don't know.
I mean, we're about a month away from Andy Liu saying that the Warriors have been detrimental to Steph Curry by not cloning him and putting him on the Warriors. They're putting the clone on the Warriors.
It is.
You've got the technology. Do it.
And I
got
to say,
this is Silicon Valley. What are we doing?
Yeah, exactly.
I got to say, Steve seems a little defensive sometimes in these press conferences where he's saying, I know what my team needs.
Steve's got to chill, though. Steve's got to chill. He's the most secure dude in the world. Like, Steve don't care about nothing. Like, he'd be like, I'll leave tomorrow. But these fans start to get to him. I think Andy Liu is such
an amazing troll, and he's being backed up by Sam Esfandiari, and they're just, I do think they have a little bit of a power in the Italian conversation. Well, it was a running joke that we once had where we would say his name as Italian, even though he was Persian.
Esfandiari.
It's just ridiculous. Not that there's nothing to criticize about Steve or the team, but I think if you just look at the broader view of it, it's not like the Warriors are out of line with expectations. They might even be above expectations, considering some of this random talent.
They were picked 11th.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right.
You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right. When you say Esfandiari, it's like music to my ears. Speaking of music, take five.
Oh, look at that segue.
Marcus, this is not my joke, but I'll still ask it to you. What do you get when you cross Captain America with the Incredible Hulk? You give up?
I give up.
The Star Spangled Banner. I didn't write it. I did not write it. Jade is the only one laughing. Jade,
I thought Zach was going to take that. Like, Jade, like the Joaquin
Jade is,
Phoenix
Jade
Joker.
Is red face right now.
I thought that the whole what do you get? I thought it was.
I'm thinking green, red,
not,
white, blue.
I will not.
I was
going to
say,
Jade.
Capitalism. Like,
that's also an accurate answer. All right. According to Tim Cato of The Athletic, the Dallas Mavericks will stop playing the national anthem before home games this season and do not plan to play it moving forward, a decision made by Mark Cuban. Playing of the national anthem goes all the way back to 1862 and is often seen as a propaganda stunt by some revolving around America's war efforts. First documented time that it played at an American sporting event came out at a baseball game in 1862 during the Civil War, which they were playing baseball during the Civil War. That's my real question there.
Incredible.
Tradition of it playing it at sporting events got a boost in the 1918 World Series, which wasn't that cut out because of cheating. That's a weird time. During World War One, and the tradition of playing it before games was popularized during World War II. Also, remember when Fergie sang the national anthem? Let's listen to that. All right. The league came out today and said, no, teams are going to play the Star Spangled Banner. We're playing the national anthem because that's what we do in this league, especially as we allow people back into the arenas. All right, guys, does this have to happen?
The entire thing?
Ethan, I'll start with you. Ethan, I'll lob that grenade to you. You play hot potato.
Okay. I need more details about whatever the hell is going on here because Cuban presents it as one thing, but I would like to know, okay, did players come to you? Was there a team meeting? Which players? Was it the majority of them? It seems like he kind of just did this unilaterally and you didn't really discuss it with the league. And I don't know if this is, not to be a cynic, I'm looking at a very look at me, attention-getting owner at the center of a controversy, and I'm wondering, is it really coming from other people who want this, or is it coming from him? These are details that might come out in due time, but they definitely inform my reaction to whatever is happening here. And I do think there is a bit of a chasm. There are many chasms on this issue, but one is between media and everybody else, because we as the media are sick of the national anthem, and it's got nothing to do, or it's got something maybe to do with the country, but it's like we hear it more than anybody. And if we're totally honest, it's not a great song. It's not the most mellifluous song, to say nothing of how people feel about it, versus a lot of fans, I think, might like, that's just part of the tradition. It's part of what they're used to. It's the thing you do. And I think there's maybe not as much of an opinion on it out there in the negative direction. So that's one particular chasm. And, you know, there are others, obviously.
I guess my question would be, if it was that important to the sporting event, why isn't it played on the TV broadcast?
I mean, it is
during the finals when we're really American.
Yeah, it's during.
Oh, that's right. They play both. We're only American during the playoffs. The deep playoff. Yeah,
they give you that Canadian anthem when it's the Raptors and the American national anthem. Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody thinks that it's America and Canada. I don't think anybody thinks it's like the most essential thing in the world, but people have an attachment to traditions for tradition's sake. They anchor you to the past and what, you know, like a basketball game was, you know, for your dad or your dad's dad or whatever. So there's an affinity for that, and that makes sense. And I just think the conversation gets very binary on Twitter, where it's the only people who have an issue with the NBA doing this are like crazy Trump voters. But I think if you went off Twitter and you asked people, like, there'd be a lot of people not like that who are saying, dude, why are you taking the national anthem out? I'm used to the national anthem. And bottom line is, I don't think the NBA wants to find out. I don't think they want the risk, especially if it's done slapdash.
No, they definitely don't.
Especially if it's done slapdash and out of nowhere, and it's just something Cuban did unilaterally. I don't think they want to just ride with that. If they're getting rid of it, I think it's going to be under a more considered process than this one.
I don't expect the league that's been about that money to now wade in deep into a conversation about true patriotism.
Before
I don't think anybody is really trying to have that conversation. The whole conversation is empty. Play the anthem, don't play the anthem, it doesn't matter, right? Like, there are far greater determinations of patriotism. So it's ridiculous that we get into these conversations like it actually means anything, and it doesn't. And the league knows this, so of course they're going to be like, why would we piss off half of our fan base for something that doesn't even really matter, right? Like, what are you doing, Mark?
Well, also, right? Marcus, like, I think to me the funny part is, like, the people who didn't notice, which the Mavericks, I don't believe, have had fans at the games.
Absolutely.
Like, how would they have known, right? Because they're not showing it on TV. Some local broadcasts will show a snippet of it, but they're not showing it on TV. And so I think the funny thing to me is that it's happened for like 2 months and people are like, what? This is an outrage now. It's like, yeah, but we didn't know it was happening. It's like when Kaepernick was sitting for a couple of games before somebody asked him about kneeling, right?
But that's the social media era, though, isn't it? Where it's not the thing itself. It's how it's curated and then presented to you, and then you react to it. So if they were doing this when there were 20,000 people in the arena, I feel like it would, you know, people would definitely notice and have a certain opinion.
I just don't know if we don't learn from the stuff. We still haven't learned from what we did to Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. Like, it's not real. We're not growing because of it. We're not being able to say, okay, let's have this contextual conversation about it. Like, that's not what's happening. It's all faux rage and it leads to nothing. It's a waste of time. It's a time suck.
And they ridiculous. Didn't. And I don't think the NBA wanted that particular time suck right before the All-Star game.
I wouldn't want it either if I were them. Like, I don't want to talk about this.
Yeah.
We were supposed to be happy Black History Month. What are we doing? Like, how about everybody just play the Black National Anthem instead? How about that during February? Lift every voice and sing, everyone. Count of three. One, two. No.
I was like, do I know the words?
The terror, like, the terror in Ethan's eyes. Like, oh, do I have to sing right now? Lean on me.
Is it Lean on Me the national anthem? I thought it was.
I do think whatever decisions people want to make, make them. But I do think sometimes from some of the people talking, there should be a little more, like, from Stan Van Gundy, and I like Van Gundy. I'm looking at this tweet, and he's saying the banning of the anthem should happen everywhere. If you think the anthem needs to be played before sporting events, then play it before every movie, concert, church service, and start of every workday at every business. What good reason is there to play the anthem before a game? And I'm reading that, and I'm thinking, you know, I don't care if the anthem's played or not, but you're just talking to people like, hey, if you like it so much, then you should play it before all these things the public can't do right now. It's just like, dude, this is not the way to relate to people on this.
But that's not the point. It's his point is, why do we have to co-opt sports for this space?
Inertia.
Like, this is my space. Yeah, space.
But it's like, why do we have extra points in football? You know, why do we have so many things we have? It's like, we started doing it a while ago and we're used to doing it. And I feel that way about free throws sometimes, right? I think, dude, if we didn't have free throws in the NBA and you introduced the free throw as a concept, people would go, what? No way. Get out of here. This is the weirdest thing.
Be out.
You'd be, yeah, oh yeah. You would not be happy with that. No, 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 no,
of course,
no.
You can't exactly put free throws into childcare, right? Like, or into movies. Like, it's a specific basketball thing.
We're taking something that's not basketball.
Free throws? I'm in.
Everybody shoots the ceremonial free throw with like, the red, white, and blue ball.
So divide the movie up into 10-minute settings. So you don't get to see the next 10 minutes unless you make the free throw.
No.
I like a pop-in shot. You gotta pay five, four bucks.
Two in a row
to see the rest of the movie. Nah.
Everybody has a ball on their seat. There are countries like that. If people who've gone to Thailand know, when I went to Thailand, you watch a movie and they do play the national anthem and Hail the King before the movie comes on. So it is something that happens.
LeBron?
Yeah, I just love LeBron over there.
I just don't think how I feel about it should dictate how everybody else should feel about it. I think we just do a lot of that.
The anthem is irritating.
They let you on Twitter with a take like that?
I'm usually probably kicked off Twitter.
You know what the part about anthem is? Like, you're usually doing something and then somebody randomly be like, please stand and raise your caps. You're like, no, I need 30 more seconds to finish this line. Like, or, oh, I got a burger in my mouth. It's like, it's always inconvenient.
That's why the secret, I don't go out to the floor. Well, back when I went to games, I don't go out to the floor until the anthem plays, and then I'll walk out there.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of standing.
So it's a lot of standing. So un-American you are.
Yeah, it's so un-American. You should be crying.
I'm a lazy man. I don't know what to tell you. Someone say that's the most American thing about me.
Absolutely.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of POC. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. Make sure you're checking out Marcus's work, Ethan's work, my work, everybody's work at The Athletic. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic NBA Show. Give it a 5-star review. Juice all those algorithms for us. And check out The Restricted Area on The Athletic's YouTube channel with myself and Wazi Lambert this week. Betting odds for the NBA MVP. Will it be Steph Curry? Will it be Jokic? We'll let you know. And for Marcus, for Ethan, for Jade, I'm Zach. Keep it locked in on The Athletic.
Steph Curry MVP is big point, baby. Going up, up, up.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.